In the old days, we would shred up newspaper, sprinkle water on it, and then sweep the house. And the wet newspaper, well, not wet, but like damp newspaper, would, with a broom, a real broom, and you know, it would pick up all the edges of the dust and whatever was in your house. This morning, I would like to shred up some old newspaper, sprinkle it, and just sweep the house a little bit. And today, maybe you're a person who doesn't have a speck of dust in your house. But if there's a little bit of dust somewhere in your house, or maybe this is all just for one person. I don't even know. It could just be for me. But we're going to look at the Magnificat 2 weeks in a row. So that's a luxury. I don't have to like worry, oh, am I going to say everything? Not that I ever would. But next week, we're going to be looking at how joyous it is when God has answered or fulfilled his promises, and how you feel when you know that God is working through you. So today, this is for those of us who are not completely comfortable with our heritage. This is for those of us who have pride in our heritage, or who feel there might be some kind of a curse in the line, or who have reservations, or who feel that other people have better and more noble families than ourselves, or else who feel that we have a noble family that sets us apart from other people in the world. You know, the Bible is not about us looking in a room and admiring people who are well-dressed, who have food to eat, and having like a celebrity, oh, that's so great, if I was only like them. The scripture is about opening the door to the banquet hall and having all of us come in. There's a little chapel directly inside the River View Road door. You come in and boom, it's right there. Usually the door is closed. On Sunday it's open, and our brother always keeps it clean. It is a charming little consecrated space without any windows. If you or I were to sit in that chapel and pray in the presence of the Lord without anyone else present, without any outside interaction, without anyone watching us or seeing what we are wearing or whether we kneel or stand or throw ourselves or scream, would it matter who your mother and your father were in the presence of God? Is it important to you? Does God see us through who our ancestry is? Not everyone has siblings or half-siblings or foster siblings. Not everyone has biological or adopted or foster children, but everyone has a mother and a father. We might have a biological mother and a sperm donor. We might have been carried in a surrogate womb. We might have been a test tube baby. But we may have been raised by a biological parent or a grandparent or another relative, or brought into a home by the parents who raised us. But however we were raised, and whoever was a true mother or father to us, regardless of biology, if we are alive, our bodies and our souls, because a human being cannot, we have different parts, but we can't be separated out. You cut us open to find our soul. If you kill our body, our soul goes on. But you can't separate out the parts of a human being. Our bodies and souls came from our parents and our ancestors. Next week, we'll look, God willing, at learning how to be joyful in the good things that God does. For Mary, the blessing of being the Messiah's mother was nothing but trouble for her. With lifelong public humiliation at her early pregnancy, ending before the cross as her child was publicly executed, practically naked in front of the world. But She rejoiced in being part of God's wonderful plan. This week, our focus is on Jesus being born and raised by the woman who gave birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. Mary was quickened by the Holy Spirit so that she became pregnant. I am sure that somewhere in the world there are books and articles written by people who have studied the idea that a living embryo was created by God and placed in her womb, just as God created human beings. But I have not read those studies. It is clear from Scripture that Mary carried Jesus and gave birth to him in a way that all children are carried and born. Scripture indicates that Joseph was not the biological father of Jesus. He listens to the angel when he learns that Mary is pregnant, and he accepts Mary and the child and cares for them as his family. When they're in danger, he takes them to Egypt as a refugee. He cares for them. He is present with Jesus when the family goes to Jerusalem for Passover, the year that Jesus was 12. A bar mitzvah comes much later in history. Jesus went to the temple for his bar mitzvah. That comes later, much, much later in history. But even during the time of Christ, around 13 was when a boy was thought to become a man. Think about our kids, right? A boy becomes a man at 13. Joseph does not appear in the Gospels after that. Once Jesus is considered to be an adult, what happens to him? We think he was older and maybe died. We don't know. Basic DNA testing is affordable now. We named our son Francis after Francis Xavier. We named him Xavier, who was the Jesuit priest who brought the gospel to Japan, to the island where I grew up. DNA testing shows, after we were older, DNA testing showed that my husband Omar has a piece of Basque along with the indigenous and Spanish and other bits that he has in him. And Francis Xavier was Basque, and Zambrana is a Basque name. There's a city called Zambrana. That felt meaningful to us. But is it meaningful that we chose a name that was Basque, and lo and behold, we have Basque DNA. Aren't we all related through the first mother? Does God see us differently depending on who our biological or adopted parents are? Certainly, we grow up with different views of the world taught us by our parents. If you're in this home, you're going to learn this. If you're in this home, you're going to learn that. Sometimes, though, a child will have a completely different view from everyone else in the family. They're always going to tease him, "I know you're adopted because you're different." Picked it up somewhere? We don't know. They've done studies, identical twins separated at birth, and they've ended up naming their kids the same thing. They have the same hobbies. And we just don't know. Deuteronomy teaches that the blessings of obedience go down 1,000 generations and that the consequences of sin go down at least 3 or 4. A parent's health, their nutrition, their medical use, substance use, environmental pollution or health, sure, they impact the child and the generations after the child. But sitting in that, and going back to that little chapel that we have over on the little jewel of a chapel that we have on the Riverview side, whether we had a parent who praised God using the language of the Old Testament covenant, which is what Jesus had. His mother took the language of the Old Testament and praised God. Whether we had a parent who was like that or not, a person with a body, soul, and spirit would be equal with any other person before God. I believe that from the Bible. It says Romans 12:2. God is no respecter of persons. That doesn't mean God doesn't respect us because we're just human. It means that he doesn't value one over the other depending on their situation. Ruth was from a despised and cursed people. The Moabites were cursed because they did not help the Israelites when they were fleeing from Egypt. But when she came to Israel and wanted to be a part of the Israelite community, she was treated just the same as anyone who had their heart open to God and in fact became a part of the line of David. When I was a child, there was a woman named Mrs. T, and she would not believe in Christ because she had promised her father on his deathbed that she would have nothing to do with the Christian religion because it was a divisive and evil religion. She had promised him. There were other people who didn't want to become a Christian because if they did, they would go to a different place than their parents when they died. Japanese people, if you're Shinto, you go to the other land. They didn't want to go anywhere different than where their parents were going. On the other hand, there were two brothers from one family in that same neighborhood who did become Christians. There were tens of thousands of Christians massacred during the time of the hidden Christians, 400 years before, some, not exactly 400. But these two brothers from that same area where there was a massive prejudice against Christianity because when the people were massacred, they put out this whole campaign about how Christians ate the blood of children and stuff like that. 400 years later, that was still believed, so it was massive prejudice against Christianity. But these two brothers became Christians, and after they became Christians, they found out that in their family, for 400 years, the oldest son of the oldest son was secretly taught by his father to go out on December 24th way out into the countryside where there was a stone, and they were to pray there. They had no idea what they were supposed to say or why they would go there, but they had carried that tradition. They were clearly from a Christian family that had taught their children to honor the day of Christmas. On one side, people who refuse, do not want to be a part of it, and others who perhaps heard the gospel because of the prayers of their ancestors. Perhaps, right? One family heritage seems a hindrance, and the other heritage seems a blessing. But God gives each person, whether they have a mother like Mary or not, freedom of choice. Jesus' mother Mary speaks of God keeping his promises. Through this child, the covenant of faithfulness will be explicitly extended beyond Israel to the whole world. Now, the minute we step out of that chapel that has no windows, we open the door, we step out of that chapel, our network of relationship kicks in. But in the presence of God, whether our ancestors knew Christ or not, whether they were worthy and faithful individuals or not, whether our bloodline is simple or complex, we are welcome and free in God's sight. Is there something about our ancestry that troubles us? Do you think that your family was cursed in some way for some kind of a reason? Do you fit all too well into your family or not at all into your family network? This, we read, was Jesus' believing mother. A woman called to him 30 years later. Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. But do you remember what Jesus said to her? Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Before a final admonition and prayer, the New Testament ends this way, Revelation 22. The Spirit and bride say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him come and take the free gift of the water of life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.